Welcome again to Peace. Each week here, we've been focusing on a different part of this reading from Isaiah. These hymns also, by the way, are inspired by this Isaiah writing, Isaiah chapter 40. I want to focus tonight on this little phrase, the grass withers and the flower fades. Maybe you've heard that little phrase before. And also continue the conversation of light and darkness tonight. It's a major theme of Advent. What doesn't save us is when we have a light that comes from within. That if we have a light that comes from us, it doesn't necessarily save us. That's a better way of saying it. I'd like to illustrate that. When I was going to college, I went to Gonzaga University in the eastern part of Washington. And growing up, I would oftentimes look for bike paths to find in northern Idaho or eastern Washington. And early in the 2000s, a new bike path opened up. Maybe you've heard about it. It's got quite a bit of fame and notoriety. It's the Road to the Hiawatha. Has anyone been on that little stretch? So have you guys biked that? Yeah? Well, around 2001, right around that time frame, I decided to go and do the Road to the Hiawatha. For those of you who don't know what that is, it is right out of Wallace, Idaho. I believe it's right out of Wallace, Idaho, up in the Rocky Mountains. And it's about a 15-mile path one way up in the mountains, really high. An old railroad track had been converted into a paved cement surface. Now, when I heard about this path, what didn't excite me was the 2.5-hour journey up. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but the 15 mile distance took about 2.5 hours because it was a low grade kind of going uphill. What excited me was going down. That was pretty cool. And down you went through somewhere around 8 to 10 tunnels. Jump in if I'm getting the detail incorrect. Eight, good. About 8 to 10 tunnels through mountains in the Rockies and over quite a few bridges. It's an incredible journey, a little crazy little place in Wallace, Idaho. There's one particular tunnel, and I don't remember the name of the mountain. It's about 1.7 miles in length. And it's not a big, wide tunnel. I can't wait to talk to Todd and Suzanne about their experience after this. But there's a rule about when you couple rules about driving the or biking the Road of the Hiawatha. You have to wear a helmet and you also have to have a light, some sort of light to go through that tunnel. And so I didn't kind of the day before I figured I'm just going to go up there, check it out, grab my bike, got a helmet, and took my dad's little small dim light. And figured that I would be just fine going through that 1.7-mile tunnel. And what I realized, it wasn't fine. It was actually a very terrible experience, very terrifying. What happened was I went about 25 feet and hit the wall on one side. Then I went 25 more feet, hit the wall on the other side. And it was an absolute disaster. It was dangerous. It was a disaster. It was very disorienting. All those D's. Not a great experience. And pretty much I decided probably, 500 feet into that tunnel, I decided I'm going to walk my bike through this tunnel about a mile to make it through. What didn't help me and what didn't save me was having a light from within. Having a light that was attached to me shining out. That didn't save me or help me. Think about that image tonight. I actually think that's a little bit what Isaiah is getting at here in Isaiah 40. As he speaks to the Israelites, they have been uprooted and placed in Babylon. And they are in a dark, dark tunnel. And they're trying to, I can imagine they're trying to conjure up some light to get them through this dark tunnel that they're in, deported and in this distant land. And the light that they conjure up, a positive thought, might flash onto a king and give them some excitement. But you see, then they'd hit a wall and realize, oh, that's not our king. That's a Babylonian king. That's not great. They'd hit a wall. Then they'd go along a little bit further and shine their light, thinking that things are going better, and they'd see a building, and they'd be reminded, well, that's a great building. But then they'd realize, oh, it's not their temple. It's a Babylonian ziggurat where they worship the gods of the Babylonians. And then you go along further and see a field and realize that's not our field, that's Babylon's field. And so Isaiah writes these words here, the grass withers and the flower fades. It's kind of fatalistic and dark, but it describes Israel's feeling. They're very temporary. Every kind of light that they kind of shine, it doesn't last all that long, and they hit a wall as they go along their way. Maybe you're feeling that as well. Heading into the Christmas season, we're kind of on that tunnel. How many days out? 8 days down. 8 days down, how are you doing? Well, we can have a positive thought and think that we're going to make it through our Christmas packing and cookies and cards and whatever it is, and then we hit a wall the next day. And we're knocked down. And we could go a little bit further thinking that we're going to make it through and we hit another wall. This is life. We think we can make it ourselves, flash some light that comes from within us. Yet it really doesn't work. You see, it's true. A light that shines from within us, that emanates from ourselves, doesn't necessarily save us. There is something that does save us. It's when there is a light from a distance that we can see, that comes to us, that can save us. On the road of the Hiawatha, in that mountain, that is what saved me. Going along, walking, off in the distance, after, I don't know, 5-10 minutes of walking my bike through that dark tunnel, finally I saw the end of the tunnel, a little light off in the distance. That made a huge difference. No longer did I have to look, put my light down and just go baby steps down through that tunnel. No longer did I have to have one hand on the bike and the other in front of me in case I hit another wall. No longer did I have to think about, did I make a wrong turn? Am I in the wrong mountain? Am I in some kind of cave? Where am I? That light in the distance comforted me. I knew where I needed to go. And I knew that where I was going was sure, that out way off in the distance, probably 500 feet, I knew that I was going to make it and I was going to be just fine and okay. You know, in a lot of ways, this is the message of Isaiah when he says these words, "The word of the Lord endures forever." It is as if Isaiah is saying, when we rely on the things, the inner lights that we conjure up to get through life, those things are going to fade away. They're like the flowers. They're like the grass. They're not going to last forever. But when we rely on what endures, the word, or in other words, the light, Jesus, we know that we can be okay. Jesus experienced every kind of darkness in his life, if you think about it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out to the Father, and what he heard was void and darkness. Didn't get a response. Jesus experienced the darkness on the cross in which the sun refused to shine. Jesus experienced the darkness of that tomb, and in every dark place, Jesus shined brightly and broke through that darkness. But friends, the good news tonight is this. Jesus shined in those dark places, not just for himself or to prove others that he could escape. He shined so that he could shine in your dark tunnels and in your dark places. The good news tonight is that there is no path that you could go on that he cannot shine his light and lead you out of. There is no dark tunnel or cave that you could fall into that he cannot shine his light and lead you out to safe place by him. As I was thinking about this light and darkness, there's a, I like really strange art. I also like Alfred Hitchcock, so I've got a weird collection of paintings. This is one of my favorite ones. I believe this was in, no, this is Washington, D.C. It's a painting of Mary Magdalene. You probably can't see this, but check it out after service. The Albrecht Dürer was a very dark painter. But it's a picture of Mary Magdalene, and it's an interesting picture. It shows her, check it out after service, she's got her hand on a skull. Ooh, it's kind of grim. And then there's a mirror over here. You can check it out later. And the mirror has the skull in the mirror. But there's something interesting. There's a light in this picture. The artist was saying, I think, a couple of things. Number one, Mary Magdalene, who had a lot of dark tunnels in her life and a lot of dark caves, she was realizing how temporary life was, holding on to that skull, realizing that life is short, it's fast, it's fleeting, there are a lot of dark tunnels. But you see, the artist was also saying, there's a light. And the light brightens her face. But here's another thing. The light, you actually can't see it. It's hiding behind the skull in the way that he painted it. It's an amazing picture, and it illuminates her face. This is the way Jesus is for us. He's there for us. We don't always see his light, but the light is there. It shines. And his light can shine our gloomy faces. It can shine in our dark tunnels, and it can shine forever and give us a safe journey to that destination that we're to be with him forever. And so one more reminder tonight, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Jesus is that light. Head in his direction. It's not as if we work our way towards Jesus, but he's shining out there this Christmas. He's coming so to shine off in the distance so that we know that we can be walk confidently in the dark caves and tunnels of life. Amen. Let's pray about that tonight before we close with song and prayer. Stir up your word, O Lord, to stand in our presence. For even as we sit in a season of withered grass and fading flower, your word stands forever. You come to stand with us. And even as we cry out in captive death, free us with your new life, just as you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.